Oh my God. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. This is an episode that is such an emergency episode. It's like a CNN triage style something or other that is coming about because I recorded an AG classic with one of my favorite guests, Richie Sky, earlier today. And we were flying high because at that point, there had been a couple announcements, one of which was quite shocking in the Bravo universe, and then began recording our previously scheduled episode. And during the episode, we found out breaking news. You get to hear my live reaction to that. And I thought to myself, how lucky are we to be living in a land where there's a land before time, where there's so much happening and we're able to cover all of it. Ha ha ha. The universe says in response, because so many events happened after the fact. I'm recording this Monday night at approximately 7:30. So if anybody else wants to leave or be fired from Housewives, we can use that beloved term pause if you'd like, although no one has yet today, which means there's still time, or get married or get divorced or have a baby, or call a colleague a baby in a way that feels newsworthy. I'm going to let you know you have 4.5 hours in which to do that. This is the day that Bravo stood still. Can you imagine being in the comms department at Bravo? First off, I mean, LOL. But also, can you imagine what today must have been like? Let us send some of those pineapple bouquets from wherever with, you know, like an apple or something on top. It's probably like a broccoli tree or something. It's edible arrangements. Send those over to Bravo HQ, because can you imagine the boom, 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 boom of news? And some of these things feel like Bravo might not have been fully aware or perhaps aware of the timing. So anyway, let's just cut to it. I felt like before listening to that AG classic with Richie, which is on the docket, ready to go, I really truly just wanted to cover all of the breaking news, because some of this happened in the hours following our recording. And I felt like we needed to catch up. I mean, we're covering so many franchises. I'm actually nervous that I'm going to be away from my phone for the LOL 15 minutes. What a joke that I'll be recording this episode. It's probably going to be a little longer, but maybe not. Anyway, woke up this morning to the shock of shocks, the most surprising news of the day that Robin announced. Robin announced she has in fact been fired from the Real Housewives of Potomac, saying on the newest episode of her podcast, Reasonably Shady with Gisele Bryant, she says, yes, I will not be returning for season 9 of the Real Housewives of Potomac. It's reality. The network did not invite me back. I was fired, for lack of better words. I will not sugarcoat the situation and say, ooh, I'm walking away and this is a break or anything like this. This is a network decision. I mean, duh, first off. What a big shock to Juan Dixon today will be, unless he had just resigned himself to whatever financial fate he is setting himself up for. It is not a surprise. It's the most least surprising news of the day. And the timing of it, Robin mentioned on the podcast. I listened to the extended clip from the pod. I tuned into Reasonably Shady. I was unreasonably shady in listening to it. And she mentions a little bit of her own form of shade, a little annoyance at the fact that this news essentially got out a few weeks ago because someone else decided to leak it. So I don't know if that was a little toss over to Candace or Dr. Wendy or somebody in production. My guess is it wasn't the latter. It gave me a little... The tenor of her voice gave me a little, I'm really pissed off at someone who's in the cast energy. And frankly, if it was potentially Candace, who's probably has a little bit of zero fucks energy since she did leave and put herself on pause, was able to make that decision for herself that maybe she was like, fuck it. Guess what else is happening? Robin's got the heave ho. I don't know. I mean, who knows who was involved or what's going on there? I don't think that the news, as Robin said, I don't think that those earlier reports were coming from the Bravo camp. That felt like it was a little bit of a somebody was trying to fuck with her. And was it deserved? Possibly. So she's not back. So I don't know. If you were Juan, first off, apologies. But if you were Juan thinking about this and how this is going to affect their financial future, would you think to yourself, gosh, I wish I had gone to that reunion on the off chance that maybe it would have done something? Or are you thinking this was kind of set in stone well before that took place, so it didn't matter? That's taking out of the equation, you know, the idea of supporting one's spouse and considering themselves really a partner and wanting to play that role. So maybe I assume that it had truly no impact in the decision to fire Robin, or rather not renew her contract. I think she was kind of fucked either way, but it is also gross that he didn't show up, considering the fact that other people who had tough questions being leveled their way, including by Robin herself, you know, showed up and played the game. But I don't know, maybe Juan's not great at gameplay any longer. He wouldn't be my pick as a coach, but luckily for me, my biggest sport is running to the internet and Googling Robin Dixon why. So, you know, it's unfortunate that she was fired. No, it wasn't. Totally deserved. You know, she just had a tough season. She's had a tough couple seasons. She can take solace in the fact that I assume Giselle will be fine. And they did have a sweet moment where Robin was crying and thanking Giselle for their friendship. And Giselle said, "You're going to make me cry." And then, in fact, did not cry. But who says that crying is the best indicator of a person's vulnerability? You know, I don't agree that tears are always needed, but a cryangle was certainly not used for that announcement. And who knows what the fuck is going to happen with Potomac? That news had come out prior to recording the upcoming AG Classic, so it wasn't a shock, I don't think, to anybody seeing it. But there's a finality, of course, in having this confirmed and being said by a cast member. And Robin deserves credit for saying that she was fired and not that, you know, she's not returning and leaving it up in the air. But it's sort of similar to Teddy Joe saying she was fired, where it's like, great, we'll give you credit for that. But also, you know, I don't know that people would really be questioning whether or not this was your choice in the matter, but also sure, let's give you some credit, some extra credit. So that happened. And so I was just kind of thinking to myself, okay, Robin was gone, so I guess that will be a part of the Potomac discussion coming out. And then to me, a genuinely shocking announcement went up, I think, right before we started recording, which is that Todd and Alexia are no longer. Todd has filed for divorce after 3 or so years of marriage. There was a prenup in place that was signed a few days before their wedding in 2021. We didn't have a response or confirmation from Alexia before we started to record the episode. It came after recording, she posted on her Instagram stories and said, "I am shocked and heartbroken that Todd has chosen to dissolve our marriage. I will take comfort in the fact that my friends and family will be by my side, supporting me during this difficult time." I am shocked. I did not see this coming even a little. I certainly felt, maybe not as passionately as Adriana did during the filming of the season, and I guess the reunion as well, that things were on very unstable ground with them. But I think that you could see tension in their relationship. But so much of the tension in their relationship seemed to be about the fact that we didn't really get the full information on why they were leaving their apartment and the lease and that kind of search, and him not giving her specific information on budgeting and money that didn't necessarily look great. And also, Todd, to me, as an obvious outsider, feels like that he seems like the kind of guy who sees a little bit of the glitz and glamour and the shine of his, you know, then girlfriend, then fiance, then wife, being on reality TV and thinking like this could be fun. Like it can be fun to be a little bit famous or more than a little bit famous in this way. And the Housewives franchise is obviously different from other forms of reality TV. There's the illusion or reality of some level of wealth and ostentatiousness and obviously drama, which can come in different forms, and a ton of attention. And people often pay the price in whatever way in order to receive and maintain a spot on Housewives. And with Todd, I think he was, like many spouses, probably unprepared for some of the pushback, including pushback against Todd specifically for sort of embarrassing himself on Instagram when he posted that long, film recorded in his office where he's talking on and on about, I think it was Dr. Nicole's husband. And it was just like this kind of awkward moment. And that was seemingly the reason that he didn't want to show up to film a group event, a party filmed at his home with Alexia. He said it was because of Adriana, but I think the reality was that he didn't want to be a part of the conversation. He didn't want that video to come up. I think he was embarrassed by it, embarrassed by the negative attention associated with it, the reaction to it. And that kind of, to me, set off I think a tension that existed maybe in their relationship, certainly in talking about their finances, trying to explain the new housing needs, and just throughout the season, their level of wealth. I mean, who could forget that weird moment when he's like giving her a watch at the charity event, and it just at Lars's charity event, it just felt really forced in a way that made a person feel like their love was being defined by the high cost of gifts that Alexia was receiving, which isn't great. And then you kind of compare that to a level of vulnerability that Alexia has shown in sharing other aspects of her family life, her ongoing journey with Frankie and the charity work that she's doing to continue to support him for an organization that they've been working with in Miami. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff associated with her older son, which the show hasn't done a great job of handling or dealing with. He's been much less of a presence on the show in the last season than he was prior. And Alexia, you know, she's a tough character. She's someone who I think elicits a really strong reaction. And also, I mean, the thing is, she's often compared to Teresa by Louis, by viewers. And that's both because they genuinely do look similar. They have kind of a similar look. And also because of what they've gone through in their lives. And the fact that they had these new chapters and new beginnings was, I think, exciting to people, including people who might not consider themselves a stan, a fan, whatever. You know, there's a hope that many viewers feel of like, I don't necessarily like this person or this person's behavior, but I'm happy after what they've experienced that they've found someone in their life from a romantic sense. And I think I at least felt that about Alexia meeting Todd. I was really happy for her and excited for her. And I guess kind of similar, Teresa and Louis. I was certainly hopeful about them in the beginning, about their relationship. And to see Alexia and Todd split after 3 years and have it made clear in her statement that this was not by her choosing, or at least that Todd made the decision, and it seemed like she was really, using her words, shocked and heartbroken that he had chosen to end their marriage, dissolve their marriage, was her words. So it sets up a sort of interesting dynamic because, you know, as with Portia and Simon, the split is happening before cameras pick up. Atlanta, I think, is probably further away from shooting their upcoming season than Miami is. But also, who knows? There were reports that casting is going to go through some changes. I don't know if that's accurate. I hope with every fiber of my being that it's not. I don't know if they're taking a little bit of a pause. I think of any franchise that needs to take a pause in between filming, Miami is not the one that needs it. So I am hopeful that everybody on the show is back. I wonder how the cast is going to be rallying around her. She has obviously friends and a huge support system in Marisol, for example, and certainly some enemies in the cast. But I also think that Miami is one of those franchises that is able to really, really beautifully illustrate just a common kind of affection that members of the cast have for each other, even when they are screaming at each other like there's no tomorrow. And I think that is the thing that many viewers, myself included, really enjoy about Miami, is that there can be so many huge, wild, crazy moments, but the cast has an ability to kind of figure things out with each other that is atypical for a franchise. Like, think of what Beverly Hills attempts to feast on and stretch out over the course of a 3-episode arc or an entire season plus, versus what Miami does, where it's like the energy is different, the show is edited in a different way, and also the cast is just really responsive. I don't know if that's because several members of the cast remember being put on, not even paused. Their show was canceled for almost a decade before it came back and was rebooted. And remembering that some of this stuff can, like a shooting star, shine bright and then fade into black, or it's just because that's their kind of personality type, is like, we're going to yell at each other and scream at each other and then probably work things out. I mean, Adriana v. Alexia and Marisol is in and of itself a wild goddamn ride. So I'm hopeful that cameras will go up. I'm hopeful that there won't be any changes in the cast. I don't even know who they would cut from the show. Like, I think everybody is needed and interesting and important. And also, like, Larsa finally being single again, having that journey, if Alexia is single as well. Let's have less focus be on the partners at group events and more focus be on the women who ideally are, you know, in positions when they're filming where they have to really kind of confront each other and be with each other without having that little kind of escape plan that can have, that can be your spouse or boyfriend or partner or wife being there to kind of like take you out of this. So I'm really genuinely surprised. I'm surprised it's happening now. I'm surprised they lasted 3 years and not five. I'm really, really curious for what the reasons are. A prenup was signed, as I said. Lord only knows what's going on with the money situation. We've seen Alexia since the reboot began, since the show was rebooted. That she's had a really high quality of living, quality of life. So I don't know how that is going to, how all of this is going to work out for her when it comes to a settlement. The fact that he is the one who filed and seemingly did so with her in disagreement about that, or at least being shocked about the filing. I'm curious to hear more about the specifics involved in all of this and see what happens with the cast. Bravo, if you're listening, which you're absolutely not, you know, welcome back. And don't let anybody go. We just need to see Miami pick up. So then, having the knowledge that Robin said she was fired and Todd and Alexia split, hopped on a Zoom recording with friend of the pod, Richie Sky, who said right before we started recording, also, did you hear about NECA? And I said, what the fuck is happening with NECA? Because at this point, how innocent was I earlier today? I'm thinking we already have stuff to discuss. So then I said, professional that I am, hold until we record so that you can get my live reaction and we can talk about it in real time without me having a second to think about it. That was, I don't know, sometimes I'm a little extra zesty. I would prefer to hear new information while recording because I think that's an interesting energy to get just a real honest guttural response. And so Richie said during the recording that according to the Jasmine brand, NECA has been fired from Potomac. She has not confirmed anything on social. A bunch of people have picked this up. There's been no further confirmation or information given that I saw in the piece, but it is entirely possible that she was fired from the show. It's a little bit of a confusing choice, just in terms of her performance at the reunion, which I thought was solid. It is also a little bit questionable about the future of Potomac. Of all of the people to fire, NECA was probably like the easiest to let go because she had the least amount of connection or obviously history with members of the cast. But also when it comes to like who's responsible for some of the stalemates, I don't think that NECA was responsible for that. So with Candace tapping out, NECA potentially allegedly being fired, we have not gotten confirmation at the point of this being recorded. And Robin confirming that she was and announcing, I guess, that she was fired. That's three members of the cast. So it's like, who is left? And are the people left the people who should stay in the show? I'm not entirely confident about that. I'm not confident about Giselle or Dr. Wendy. And confident feels like not a great use of the word. There is some displeasure at the idea of potentially production building out the cast around the people who, you know, according to us, because we don't have any more information, are likely staying on the show. But who even knows? I wouldn't be surprised if something else comes out, but I also have no idea as to production or the network's strategy or understanding of the issues with Potomac. I wonder how much of this is like, well, we know the season was bad, so let's rebuild, but who are you rebuilding around? Are you rebuilding on people who have a history or memory of performing well, or people who are who they are right now? Because I think if they are building next season around hope, I don't know that that is necessarily going to get anywhere anywhere closer to what we need. So NECA may be out. That's one of the 17 things that was announced today. And then during recording, while talking about Real Housewives of Potomac, Richie says his phone went off briefly during a part of our conversation, and he said, "Breaking news." And I was like, "What? What could it be?" Just girding my loins for some sort of wild announcement. And it was actually a positive one that Candace and Chris announced as an exclusive to ET that they are expecting, that Candace is 13 weeks along. They, you know, have obviously informed their families. They are excited about the future. There's a great video that ET did. Shout out to friend of the pod, Bryce Sander, with Entertainment Tonight, just kind of sharing the experience of her fertility journey, much of which we saw during her time on Housewives. And it's a great day to announce it, the day after the reunion. I think to many people, this could certainly explain one of probably a few reasons why Candace did want to put herself on pause and not be a part of next season. I cannot imagine a universe thinking about being in Candace's position where I would want to return if the cast stayed in a similar spot to what it is now. I just don't see a universe in which that would be a good way to utilize my time and energy, and also the amount of stress and the specific high level of stress that exists in Potomac, certainly with Candace and Giselle, obviously, being just at such a fever pitch. It just would not make any sense for her to continue regardless of this announcement. But certainly knowing this announcement, I think it's sort of a connect the pieces of like, yes, absolutely, she deserves time off. It makes sense why she wouldn't want to be a part of the show right now, and so that she can focus on her pregnancy and everything that comes with it. Now, I did mention in the seconds after learning this news a curio about whether or not maybe there's an interest in some sort of like mini Portia and Dennis style, like two or three episode kind of spinoff vibe. But I have no idea. I mean, it wasn't Bravo that announced this news. It was coming from ET. Who knows if Bravo was aware of this announcement taking place? Not that Candace needed to go through them. She's no longer an employee of production. It's technically, I think, production who does the hiring, but of the network as well. So, I mean, fuck them a little bit. But I wonder if that's a conversation that anybody is having. It's entirely possible that it is not. It's also possible that that might not be something that she has any interest in. When she says she's going on pause, she might mean from like the universe of filming, of doing Bravo. I don't know. But, you know, Peacock, do they have room on their roster? Do they have a budget to do to get a kind of like triage style team together and film a little bit of this? And by a little bit of this, I mean, it might just be a few episodes, but it's certainly a big ask. Who knows if that is something that anyone is interested in, most importantly, Candace and Chris. So noting what we have seen of Candace's journey and level of vulnerability, not just in sharing the process of trying to conceive, but also the journey with her mom and family. This feels like something, you know, she says in the interview with Bryce that, you know, she was waiting to feel 100% ready and then woke up one day and realized that she would never feel 100%, but was kind of essentially like confident enough in herself to take the next step, a little bit of a leap of faith. And so now she's expecting, they're having a bambino. They are going to decide, they've decided that they want to know the gender, not quite yet, but that they will before she ultimately gives birth. And she's just started her second trimester, and mazel tov to both of them. Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com.
It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Erin and your life and mine. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So finding out during recording that Candace is pregnant, I'm thinking, well, I guess that's it for the rest of the day. Certainly there can't be anything else that's coming out. Have we mentioned that Teresa met Taylor Swift this weekend? Has that come up? Because that seemed to break social media for a bit. Then I'm just, you know, doing my thing here in Clawfish Central. And then an announcement comes out that Jennifer Pedranti and her godforsaken boyfriend Ryan are engaged, that she flew to meet him at Bahamar, a place we have actually heard from, I think, a number of times on Housewives. I'm thinking most specifically of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but several, I think a couple other franchises as well. Anyway, hope he got a great deal. She flew out to meet him. He surprised her with one of those terrifying looking rings that he says he bought 2 years ago, which isn't at all concerning. And he, in fact, called her parents to ask for their permission and her siblings as well. I'm sure that he now has their phone numbers saved in his address book, which has never been a problem for Ryan before. So I guess maybe she could do some of the texting when it comes to hiring a planner. Anyway, wishing them the best. Hope there's at least 15 bedazzlers on their registry. Probably not. There might just be a honey fund for whatever Ryan is hoping to buy when it comes to that amazing wardrobe. Could he have a turn away from the great fuckboy energy that seems to be emanating from his pores next season? Sure. Do I enjoy Jennifer? Absolutely. Do I like her on Orange County? 1000%. So now we know that they got engaged. I don't know if cameras were with them. Orange County is still filming, and she did say she was like hot on the heels of the trip filming when she went out to meet Ryan. So I don't know if cameras were there to capture this moment. Professional photography was, but I don't know if cameras specifically were there. And God only knows what the upcoming season of Orange County has ahead of us. I did see that allegedly there's going to be like a really tight turnaround for Orange County, because I think they know we are clamoring for next season. And I do have a pretty strong, speaking of a leap of faith, it's not even a leap, I just have a pretty strong belief that next season of Orange County is going to be absolutely nutso. I think a lot of people are more than cautiously optimistic that it's just going to be unbelievable as last season was. So to think about the just dynamics of like toxic boyfriends, I mean, do I think this is, God help us, the last proposal that's going to happen this season of Orange County? I don't, because of John Jansen and Alexia. They seem to be going 90 miles an hour into forever love, which is certainly going to work out. He's got a great track record. So do I think that, you know, Jenny, she doesn't want that. Jen Jen or Jennifer. Let's go with Jen. Do I think that Ryan and Jen are going to be the last couple to be engaged on Orange County this season? I wouldn't be surprised if they are not. I'm hopeful. This is where cautious optimism comes in. I am hopeful that they are, but I wouldn't put anything past Mr. Jansen. So we'll see what happens there. So anyway, a little bit of a shock. I think it was a People exclusive about their engagement. And you can find out all the details of his proposal and that that big ring, because sometimes it's just all about the size and it's a big goddamn rock. So thinking about Jennifer and Ryan, you know, that announcement coming out, I'm like, okay, well, we're certainly done for the day. There's nothing else that could possibly also be announced. And then while doing some editing prep on the episode, thinking it's going to be going up soon enough, there is a Daily Mail piece that drops that reports that reportedly, Crystal has not been asked back to Beverly Hills. This is per the Daily Mail piece. So this is according to some insiders, so various producers or whomever with production or the network, frankly. This is the Daily Mail report about Crystal being seemingly let go. They don't want her back because they feel she has done all she can do on the show and she has no longer has much to add to the drama. So another contract has not been offered, said an insider. They appreciate her contributions to the show, and the parting is not ugly, but it is just time to move on. Crystal is not upset, it turns out. She wanted to leave the show for a while. She is sick of all the fighting and hashing things out. It became like a never-ending roller coaster for her. Plus, she wants to focus on her family away from the cameras. So I was thinking to myself, is this real? It really genuinely... You know, I posted a poll on Patreon that was like, what was the biggest shock of the day? That was after the Orange County engagement, well before the Crystal rumors got out. And, you know, I kind of thought the Todd and Alexia, I'm thinking to myself after I posted the poll, that the Todd and Alexia news, I think, was really surprising. That to me was like a big moment from the day. I wasn't as surprised about Robin's firing. But the Crystal news to me is really unexpected. And I think that for a few reasons, but the biggest one that I can think of, and frankly, the most recent, is the fact that Crystal was on Jeff Lewis Live last week, so days ago, talking about her plans for next season of Beverly Hills. I did not get the impression. Now, sometimes that happens where people have an awareness of their status in the show and are like, you know, wait and see. I did not get, I watched the video of the episodes. I don't typically listen to the live audio. Jeff's show is on Sirius XM and the full episodes are released on video on the app later in the day, and I waited to watch it later in the day because I just prefer video, says the person who does audio only on her pod. But I didn't get the impression in watching Crystal's interactions, and it was a really, really great episode of Jeff Lewis Live, didn't get a feeling like this was it felt sort of set that she would be back. I didn't get the feeling that this was optional or kind of wait and see. The energy seemed to be, and maybe that's just like optimism, the energy seemed to be she's coming back, here are, you know, the looks we'd like her to wear, Jeff's fashion police style critique of her confessionals, the things he liked and whatever else. And so when this announcement came out, I was like, what? Because I'm thinking to myself, I just witness this episode of her talking about the future of the show, it would not feel to me like this was a decision that she herself had made. It didn't feel like that was the energy, very, very different from the Robin dynamic or the Candace dynamic. It just didn't feel like it was confusing to me, but it didn't feel like this was something that seemed sort of predestined by many viewers, a la Robin. or something that Crystal herself would have decided to necessarily take the first move and step away from. I really wasn't sure about it, so I didn't know. But because there was all this, like, source says, you know, so and so with the cat, with a member of production, somebody wanted this news to go out and to go out seemingly now. It didn't look great. Like, I just kind of had that sinking feeling that this was probably accurate. And then Crystal took to Instagram and posted a video saying, yes, the rumors are true, or rather, I wanted to, you know, share some news. I am not going to be returning. And she took a lot of time to thank the fans for their support. And she talked about her experience as the first Asian American housewife on Beverly Hills specifically, and also the support of the Bravo community around her sharing experiences with her father, who lived with Alzheimer's, and her experience as someone who lives with an eating disorder. And, you know, the edit for this most recent season of Beverly Hills was so weird. We didn't really get into a lot of the nitty gritty about whatever was going on with, like, the dynamics between Crystal and her brother and her mom. It was really choppy. To be honest, the season overall was really, really choppy about Crystal. It felt like they were minimizing her role in a way that was uneven for the rest of the show. It didn't, to me, regardless of how you feel about her performance on the show, it was just, to me, a really strange strategic editing decision that didn't give us anything or leave us feeling like some of the storyline that production had structured made sense. It just kind of felt small in a way that I wasn't super into. And, you know, good friend of the pod, Sweet Baby Dill, also known as SBBD, also known as Dylan Hafer, posted and said, Crystal not being asked back to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills after a solid season and a terrific reunion performance at a time when the veterans are playing it safe and the new cast members the past two seasons have been total flops, make it make sense. And I 100% agree. I thought Crystal did have a strong reunion. I thought her performance over the course of this season at points was good, but I felt like there was stuff that was missing that wasn't on her. It was on production. And, you know, there's this constant thing of, like, Crystal's plot or storyline being around, like, I'm finding my voice. It was odd that there was, like, a moment at one of the events when she sort of loses it and has the moment that I think members of the cast or production were looking for, and then it was taken out of the episode. So we saw it during the trailer, but not during the episode itself when this whole moment erupted, which I thought was kind of confusing, because if we're continuing the narrative of, like, Crystal finding her voice, a specific housewife style voice, which is usually like an antagonistic yell, how can we continue to say the whole, like, I'm still finding my voice, when she found it at points in the language of Real Housewives and it wasn't used in episodes? That was kind of an odd choice to me. And I also think, to be very honest, that Anna Marie, that her, you know, Anna Marie being let go from Beverly Hills was kind of like a non-starter. Obvious, this did not work for many reasons, including that it just didn't work. So it was truly, it couldn't have been less surprising when she shared that she hadn't been asked back. But I'm thinking about the current cast, and, like, as Dylan said, the vets really, to me, fucked up. I think Erica had a strong season. I, you know, continue to enjoy Garcelle and Sutton on the show. I think we needed them, especially when it came to conversation or lack thereof about Kyle and Mo. But to me, Kyle did not have a good or strong season at all. There were interesting points. You guys know she's in my top five. I have zero issue criticizing her if I think it's deserved. And when it comes to last season, I think it absolutely is. I think her press recently has been a little nuts about comparing her you know, co-stars doing their job of asking basic questions that, P.S., spoiler alert, are accurate about the state of her marriage, and her saying they're inhumane to be asking anything in front of cameras. Like, it's giving me not quite Giselle energy, but this energy of like, I deserve not to be put under stress or deal with the tension of like real life stuff coming out on camera. And it's a little bit of a welcome to the world of Beverly Hills. I know that you've enjoyed the last couple seasons where it's been other people's fault, but now it's your time to be in a little bit of hot water, and it's feeling ridiculously lukewarm. So with Kyle, I didn't feel great about her performance. She has said that she's not sure if she's coming back. I do believe her that she has not made a decision. I think the decision would 1000% be hers to make. But when you think of the cast, I mean, I think Erica had a really solid season. She was enjoyable at many points. I'm not thinking about Erica's job being in any jeopardy, and that's regardless of how you feel about her personally or even professionally. I just think she has found a really nice kind of lane for herself. I don't think Garcelle and Sutton's jobs are in jeopardy, but when I think of people who I'm expecting to post a video saying goodbye, world of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I wasn't thinking about Crystal. I was 100% thinking about Dorit. So the fact that this announcement came out that Crystal was fired, that Crystal was let go, she wasn't offered another contract. That's not something that she's confirmed that she's no longer going to be on the show. She hasn't confirmed how that came to pass. I believe that it was production not offering her a contract to film next season. But I'm surprised that it's Crystal being announced and not Dorit. I think it's actually ridiculous and frustrating that production has endeavored to create a universe where Kyle and Dorit just are treated differently than everyone else. It does not help with the current state of how conflict is created on Beverly Hills and who is, at the end of the day, in hot water. I think it's wild that after 15,000 seasons on Beverly Hills, we still haven't had a conversation about Dorit and PK and debt. Production has done a great job of protecting her, including, you know, however many seasons ago when someone was following her, just kind of shouting when they saw her filming on vacation that, you know, I think a friend of theirs was owed money by PK, or like, I don't even remember the specifics at that point, but there was video that was shared on social. I don't think that was a part of the episode. Spoiler alert. The thing that's most interesting to me about Dorit at this moment is the fact that there's tension in her relationship with Kyle and that she showed the text at the reunion. But I don't think that should get her a full-time role. I could see her as a friend of who's maybe talking about this, or they have some sort of exit strategy for her to kind of fade away from the franchise. But I don't see a point in her returning. Is it possible that she's going to return full time? Absolutely. Would I be surprised if she's back? Yes. Would that make me feel like production had an understanding, or at least were in agreement with my opinions of Beverly Hills? I would not think that production and I were in line at that point, unless they were really willing to bring someone in. Has anybody checked on Camille recently? She's the only one who really brought up and asked questions about PK's debt. She actually structured in a way of like, I'm looking out for you, Dorit. This isn't necessarily about you. It's about your husband. And it went nowhere. And she had to kind of throw herself into full apology mode at the reunion for, God forbid, uttering a reality and like a genuine reality that many of us have an understanding about when it comes to their significant financial problems and troubles and continued troubles when it comes to the IRS and whatever else. So I am confused as to where Beverly Hills goes next if Dorit is back, but also maybe hopeful if that does mean that there could be something interesting in unpacking with her relationship with Kyle. But otherwise, I'm like, if she's back, you gotta give us something to discuss. We need more here, and it can't just be a whittling down of people who might oppose Kyle. I don't see that happening. Obviously, Anna Marie didn't work out, but I wonder what they're looking at. And I know that there have been gossipy rumors about Ilaria Cucumber Baldwin maybe being in discussion with Beverly Hills. I think that would be a wildly terrible choice. I think it would be a really strange distraction and not great timing, considering the only housewife, aside from maybe Kyle, to bring up Ilaria or respond to the rumors was Crystal, who was commenting with like cucumber emoji on one of the posts that was mentioning the rumors of Ilaria joining. So if we just let go the person who might have been the one to really bring shit up about Hillary from Massachusetts doing this really god-awful cosplay for the majority of her adult life and her husband possibly not understanding what's going on, I don't know that we want to have Beverly Hills become that kind of circus. We've already had some pretty significant circuses take place on BH, and also because Alec is about to go on trial and is facing jail time, do we think that joining a reality TV show that's a very specific kind of show that's not serious in the way that he might want to present his life to be is a great idea? Not that episodes will be shown while his trial is taking place, but I just think the timing of that is probably significantly not great for Alec and his legal team, if this is in fact even something, which it very, very, very more than possibly might not. And I kind of hope that it isn't a thing that is being seriously discussed. I don't know. But shout out to Garcelle and Sutton in advance for being the only... Oh, actually, Erica might bring some stuff up for discussing Hillary's, I guess, life so far and various fruits and vegetables that she'll meet for the very first time. So who knows? And also, yes, Teresa did meet Taylor Swift at Coachella, which is a moment that will stay in my bones for possibly ever. Truly just the video of Louis angling his face into frame along with Taylor and Travis's. The fact that they are essentially 6 inches from trailer, meaning Taylor and Travis. Is that what they're called? Is it trailer or is it... Trowel, I don't know what their celebrity nickname is. Bennifer, I don't know. So the fact that they are just so close, and then the photo of Teresa and Taylor, it's just so wild. Because if there is anything, I mean, Taylor is, she's just, I just don't see her watching Bravo. She's talked about, because I was trying to figure out if she's ever commented on Bravo before. I don't think she has. I think if there are two people in the country who have maybe never seen an episode or have no interest in Bravo, I would say probably it's our current First Lady and Taylor Swift. I just don't get the energy that they're Bravo viewers, which is not in any way an insult. I just don't think, I don't know why, but that is honestly the two people that come to mind. So I assume that Taylor was like, oh, here's a lady in all pink. You want a photo? Okay, let's do it. She seems like someone who is always friendly with her fans. And I assume that's how she thought of Teresa. I don't know that Teresa looked familiar to her. Also, Coachella and those events, it's like there are celebrities everywhere or known people or whatever everywhere. I would be curious for Taylor's thoughts. Will Taylor Swift ever go and watch What Happens Live? I know that Andy's good friends with John Mayer, but I would still be curious to see it. I think it would frankly be a lot of fun. I mean, Oprah Winfrey has been on Watch What Happens Live, so I feel like Taylor, maybe one day give it a go, would be a great episode. Anyway, here is the breaking news episode of Andy's Girls being sandwiched in between the upcoming AG Classic, which was again recorded after some of these events came out and in the hours before others were announced. So I did just want to cover them, noting that it is now 8:15. So there's 3 hours and 45 minutes to go of any other breaking news that might come out, which will be covered likely on Patreon and then the AG Classics to follow. So thanks to all of you for listening. I'm curious for your thoughts and feels about the news that Robin was fired, Todd and Alexia's divorce, the rumors that NECA allegedly has been let go, Candace and Chris expecting, Jennifer and Ryan being engaged, Crystal not returning to Beverly Hills, and of course, Teresa meeting Taylor Swift, the most important story of the day. Just kidding. So let me know which story was most shocking and surprising to you. I honestly feel like for me, my vote would have been Todd and Alexia until the Crystal news came out. And I just genuinely was surprised. So I'm curious for your picks. Let me know on the social media graphic for this episode. And follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley and also allegedly Threads. Send me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Potomac, Pump Rules, Summer House, any of the news that I just discussed on this episode. Curious to know more, please include your first name and town, and that satchel of gold might be unpacked on a future Patreon episode. And again, Patreon, the number one way to support the pod. You can listen to those exclusive bonus episodes and so much more at patreon.com/andysgirls. And thanks to all of you for listening. What a weird, a wild day. A wild, wild day in Bravo history. How could you do this to me? Question mark. So much left unsaid, if that's even possible at this point, but just a lot to unpack. So I just felt it was my patriotic duty to take the time to just kind of review what today has been like so far, so we can revert back to shorthand with upcoming episodes. Curious for what you all are thinking about today's news, and God only knows what tomorrow will bring. But in the meantime, thank you for listening, and I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.